98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by 72 Sold. Get the price for your home at 72sold.com.
Maloney steps into Paul's stall, even though Paul hasn't been in his stall in months. And she runs it from the Auction Community Studios. It's the Rush Hour Reboot, where you get everything you want to know so you can dominate any sports conversation today. Maloney, go.
So the D-backs, unfortunately, couldn't end their road trip with a win as they fell to the Rangers yesterday, 7-4. Here's D-backs manager Tori Lavello.
Certainly would have been a nice game to win. And, I thought we did enough to put ourselves in the right position. Bullpen got banged around. They made some mistakes, pitches that were out over the plate, and good hitters take advantage of that, and you can see the results. So,
is the D-backs bullpen your biggest concern right now?
Yes. No. Yes, it is. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I do believe the lineup is going to come around and start scoring runs. Now, I know that's a lot of wishful thinking maybe, but to me, I look at the talent, I look at the players there, I think the lineup is going to come around. When I look at the bullpen, except the very back end of it right now, I'm a little concerned, no doubt about it. I think that could be their weakest position group.
I'm glad that you have faith in the lineup right now. I think that's 100% my biggest concern is what's going on with this batting order right now. And we're not talking about some guys that are struggling. Not some guys that are struggling. Escobar 174, Peralta 182, Ahmed 100, Calhoun 140, Jake Lamb 077, Carson Kelly 083. That's a problem. That's too many guys that are batting. We're not talking Mendoza line. Too many guys that are barely getting to 150 in their batting average. The bullpen has looked good, and in last night's game, it looked terrible. Chafin's had two bad outings. I can say, yeah, I'm concerned about Chafin. I'm not concerned about the bullpen as a whole. I'm concerned about the offense.
Madison Bumgarner made his second start for the D-backs yesterday. He finished it with an 87.9 mile per hour average on his fastball, which tied for the lowest in a game of his career with his other start last week.
And I feel good. Like that's what's been frustrating. I know the velocity's down a good bit. I've had it fluctuate throughout my career, but this is certainly a big drop right now. And that's been frustrating for me.
Should we expect more from Mad Bum?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He's been good and not great. He's been good in both starts and not great. And he is a great player. He is a true ace, in my opinion, right now. His teammates expect him to play better. His coaches expect him to play better. The front office expects him to play better. And the best thing is, he expects himself to play better. And he will because of it.
I love all those things, but there's one question that none of us really want to answer, and that is Madison Bumgarner still an ace? I was a little nervous about the signing of Madison Bumgarner because I wouldn't have had the courage to add on that extra year. So I applaud the Diamondbacks for doing it. I love the addition of him. I think I would have been too scared to do it myself because sometimes an ace does more for you off the field and leading your pitching staff than he necessarily does on it. But the last 2 years are real, and he has not been as good with the Giants when he's away from home. So now you have two starts away from San Francisco, and they're a little above average. They're okay. I don't know if this is the future Mad Bum. I'm concerned about the loss of Elo. If he's concerned about it, I'm concerned about it. But I think he's eventually going to be okay, but he's not pitching like an ace right now, and the question is you have to ask at some point, is he still an ace?
DeAndre Hopkins was one of two wide receivers to crack the top 10 in the annual NFL Top 100.
As far as, like, stopping him, I mean, you put your best guy up against him, and best of luck with that.
A lot of receivers don't have that dog mentality, and he has that.
Yeah, he's got to be top 10, too. He's probably the best receiver in the NFL right now.
His hands and catching the ball in comparison to none.
This is the first time DeAndre Hopkins has been voted onto the top 10 of the players list.
Seeing him in red and white can't come soon enough.
Absolutely.
I will say that. But your reaction, do you think they got the ranking right.
Yeah, I do. I would say that DeAndre Hopkins, once again, if you want to talk about is he a better wide receiver than Michael Thomas, it's debatable. There's no doubt about that. I would say that Michael Thomas has got Drew Brees and has had Drew Brees for a long time. To me, I'll take DeAndre Hopkins, and it's because of what some of these guys were saying about him. He is a dog. He's got that dog mentality. I love how he plays the game. Watch DeAndre Hopkins block, Basin audience. If you want to know if he's a football player, just watch how he goes about his business blocking. The Arizona Cardinals are going to have two of the best blocking wide receivers in the National Football League, D-Hop and Larry Fitzgerald. Hmm.
You know, it's interesting. For me, when you say, did they get it right, that's like a factual question. And my opinion is no, but I don't have a problem with what they did. I think DeAndre Hopkins is the best receiver in the NFL, and it's because I think he's better than even Julio Jones and Michael Thomas at making the contested catches. And I also look at Michael Thomas. This is not fair to Michael Thomas, but I think there's a tremendous advantage when you play with a Drew Brees. Not that Matt Ryan and Deshaun Watson are dogs or anything, but Drew Brees is a legendary quarterback. Matt Ryan is a very good quarterback. Deshaun Watson is becoming a very good quarterback and may very well become legendary. But Michael Thomas is already playing with a legendary quarterback. I look at what D-Hop did, kind of like Larry Fitzgerald, with a cavalcade of quarterbacks before Watson got there. When I look at the whole blanket, I think he's number one. So therefore, I do think they got it wrong. I think he's better than Michael Thomas.
Joe Kelly was handed an 8-game suspension for his role in the benches clearing incident that occurred on Tuesday night. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts was issued a 1-game suspension, while Astros manager Dusty Baker was fined an undisclosed amount. Here's ESPN's Tim Kirchen on Burns and Gambo yesterday.
This is Major League Baseball saying, again, we're not messing around, especially now with COVID, where we can't have people social distancing. You can't be in a fight with another team given everything. So we're going to make sure nobody does this again.
What do you think of this suspension? Was it too much,
no,
too little, or just right?
It was an overreaction. There's no doubt about it. And it was an intended overreaction.
Overreaction by Major League Baseball?
Yes, absolutely. To send the message right now. We're not going to allow you to make an open season on the Astros lineup. We're not going to go ahead and just say, hey, listen, go ahead, have at it, throw it somebody. We'll give you a couple of game suspension. They're trying to make a statement right here, and I think they have.
I think it's an incredibly fair suspension, a 162-game season. In a 60-game season, this suspension equals out to a 20-game suspension.
Yeah.
I think that is a little stiff if you look at it like that, but the problem is it's because it's a pitcher. When it's a relief pitcher, 8 games, man, that's, if it's a starting pitcher, that's different. A relief pitcher, 8 games is strong. I don't like the phrase overreaction, because I don't think that they knew what they were doing. Like, an overreaction
right,
is almost as
saying.
If you can't control it.
It's
like, you don't intended. Even know you overreacted to something. They knew what they were doing.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you know, I would have gone with 6. Let's just say that. I don't think it's out of line, but I would have gone with 6. But Tim Kirchen's right. You cannot have social distancing fighting, and that's exactly what Kelly started. And he's got a track history, and they took that into account. Maybe they said, you know, it would have been 6 if it wasn't for Joe Kelly, and since it's Joe Kelly, it's 8. I get that.
Yeah, when you compare it to other seasons, they overreacted, and they did it purposely.
Coming up next, the D-backs are off to a slow start, and there's a major problem with that because the Dodgers are here. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So the Diamondbacks, let's face it, if they've got another series right now coming up against the Giants today, I think we feel like, okay, that's all right. If they were taking on 2-4 Seattle today, or 2-4 Angels, I'd be, all right, okay, here we go. Everybody's back. The problem with being 2-4 right now is that you're going up against the Dodgers, and we all fear the worst. Fair or not, the players can't think like that, but as a fan base, we know that they're the best team in baseball, and now they're coming here, and you haven't done the job against teams that are weaker. And that was the focus near the end of the press conference with Torrey Lovello yesterday.
The only way I know how, we just go after it and go get it. This game can be heart-wrenching at times, right? And this would have been a good push game for us. There's no doubt about it. But we've been here before. This team is resilient. They're tough. They understand what their challenges are each and every day. And, you know, to simplify it, I think I've been talking about this granular focus. Like, I know tomorrow I'm going to come to the ballpark. I'm going to concentrate on one thing, and that's how we're going to go out and attack Stripling, and, you know, how we're going to make sure we manage our best players and team moving forward to help us win a game. And then we'll pick it up tomorrow night and do it the next day.
Could not help but just focusing on resilient and tough, what he said right there. This team is resilient and tough. If they really are resilient and tough, Basinonians, right, they'll get over what happened, of course, yesterday. They'll get over that, and they'll get over it quickly.
Because nothing tests you more than losing eighth or ninth inning leads.
There's no doubt about it, Douglas. Honestly, when you look at it and say, we should have won that game, and I think the Diamondbacks, Andrew Chafin would tell you, we should have won that game. The Diamondbacks didn't. Now, does it happen? Yes, it happens all the time, right? When you compete at the highest level our species can generate, Basinonians, you're going to fail sometimes. You're going to fail. The problem is, especially in a 60-game season, you don't have the luxury to hand over games. You just don't.
Right.
It hurts that much more, and that's why, individually and collectively, you better hope they're resilient and tough.
And it, to me, it's not just failure. It's the how. And it's not just blowing an eighth inning lead. It's the how in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
One of your guys, no matter how anybody feels about Chafin, he has been a hugely positive force for the Diamondbacks since he's been a Diamondback.
Yes.
And yet you walk up and you have a second leadoff walk in two times that you have been a pitcher for the Diamondbacks this year. Okay. You have another leadoff walk. Then after the leadoff walk,
Chafin. On 2-2, and Gallo swings, hits it into pretty deep left field. Back is Peralta, and this one's gone.
And no one's going to admit it as a position player, but there's nothing that's a worse feeling than when you're standing on in the field and you haven't had a chance to do anything and you just lost the lead.
Yeah.
You can't stop a walk, and you can't stop a non-inside-the-park home run. So two true results that only the pitcher can handle, and boom, your lead's gone after you worked eight innings, 24 outs to be able to get yourself in that position. That stings really hard, and who comes to town after the sting? The Dodgers.
And that's what hurts right there, because you could have been 3-3, right?
Yep, yep.
You could have been 3-3 right now, and we're not saying, are we going to concede the four-game series to the Dodgers, Basinonians? No, we're not going to sit here this morning, right, and hopefully the players are not going to concede to the Dodgers, and we all know they won't. There's no way in the world, right, if this is a tough and resilient team, they're not going to go out there and just go ahead and go through a losing process. They're not going to do that. But having said that, once again, if you could have gotten to 500, man, and maybe split this four-game series with the Dodgers, right? Because it's really difficult to win four-game series. And it's even more difficult to sweep either way. Boy, can you imagine right now if, in fact, the Diamondbacks, if they don't get their heads right individually, if they don't get their heads right and ready to play today and in this series, can you imagine if they did get swept by the Dodgers?
Oh.
That would just be, honestly... 2-8?
The difference is enormous. You go 3-1 against the Dodgers, you're both tied at 5-5. And don't you feel great, you know, if you do that. The flip side, if just losing 3-1 in the series, which is very palpable. Sweeps are always hard in baseball. But if that happens, you're now sitting at 3-7. And you might be out of it. And I'm serious. You might be out of the playoffs. Right now, it's a weird scenario. Both of these statements are true. The Arizona Diamondbacks are the worst team in Major League Baseball. Okay? Let that sink in. They're the worst team. They're tied with the Reds, the Pirates, a lot of teams at 2-4. But they're the worst team in Major League. They're tied to be the worst team in Major League Baseball. That's true. Now, guess what else is true? They're a game out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
because of an eight-team playoff that's about to happen.
Yeah.
They're a game out.
See, unfortunately.
That's it. They're only a game out.
Right now, I think the Texas Rangers might be the worst team in Major League Baseball. At least going into the game yesterday, they were. They had scored six runs.
Yeah, that's.
Think about that for a minute.
I'm just talking about record, but I see your point.
Six runs in four games. That's what they had scored. And then they scored seven in one. So, you know, yeah, you can say that. But again, do we all expect the Diamondbacks to bounce back? At some point in time, I do. I think their lineup is too good to go out there and average two runs a game.
Home opener tonight, 6:40. I'm going. I want to see what it's like to go to a major league game without fans. It's historic. I feel like I owe it to you as a listener base to try to be able to tell you what that feeling is like coming up tomorrow morning. So I'm going to the game. It's at 6:40. If you can't go, you can listen right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Wolf, would you like to hear from your buddy Bruce?
B.A.?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Good. He was doing a presser yesterday, doing the whole thing with his mask on. You know, most guys are wearing their mask everywhere, and then when they step up to a microphone for a Zoom call, they take their mask off. he had face covering on the whole time, and he was asked about how the players are reacting and interacting now with Tom Brady on the field.
Yeah, all positive things, obviously. You know, all the guys that have been working out with him see his intensity level at even those type of workouts and only know they're going to intensify when we get out there for real. So, yeah, it's been great.
So they're already reacting to just having him in walkthroughs. And then B.A. goes a little more B.A.
You would have hoped we'd have had spring practice so all of them could get over the awe, especially the young players of Tom Brady walking into the locker room. And Gronk, but you know we'll get through that. I think in a week, then maybe each guy will have enough balls to go talk to him.
I just love this guy, honestly. Right? I mean, BA, he's always going to be a legendary figure here in the Basin, is he not, Basin audience? We all love Bruce Arians and what he was able to do with the Arizona Cardinals here during his time. But I can tell you right now, I can't help it. You tell me he's walking around with a mask on, it's because he doesn't want you to smell the booze. And I'm ripping my butt. I'm ripping him and he knows it, right? I'm just totally joking around. But honestly, right now, he brings up a great point.
Isn't that an interesting point? Have you ever heard of, I need OTAs in minicamp so my players get over the awe factor?
Yes.
I don't remember hearing that one before.
Yes. That is for real. That is for real right there. Think about it. You got Tom Brady and you've got these rookies coming in. It's the greatest quarterback ever to play in the National Football League. The greatest quarterback ever to play, and he's calling a play in the huddle and he's looking at you. Yeah, there is an awe factor they're going to have to overcome. There's no doubt. That's a great point by B.A. I didn't even think about that. But that is so profound. I remember what it was like when Neil Lomax was in the huddle. Neil Lomax, and I was a rookie, right? And it was Neil Lomax, and Neil had had a couple of really good years in the NFL. He was an up-and-coming quarterback. I remember, wow, that's Neil Lomax. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about Tom Brady?
You know, it's really interesting. There's a story that almost every single Patriot tells over the last 15 years that says the weird moment of being in the locker room and you got your back turned or you're not paying attention and somebody taps you on the shoulder and you turn around and then there's this man who sticks his hand out and says, "Hi, I'm Tom. Welcome to the Patriots." And that's how Tom Brady did it every single time. Every time somebody came into the organization, he introduced himself as if he was the janitor. "Hi, I'm Tom." And that's what he said. And everyone's like, I know who you are. And for that to be the story of just about every Patriot who knew they were walking into a scenario where Tom Brady was their quarterback, now he's in a totally different environment. B.A.'s right. That's mini camp. OTAs, all right, fine. I'm done with it. I'm done. I understand Tom Brady's my quarterback. And now, the first time you ever run a practice, is Tom Brady yelling at you? Man, that's going to be weird. That's even going to be weird for B.A. I mean, even B.A. isn't used to it yet.
I remember what it was like when I met Jack Lambert. Google it, my young crunks. and shook his bloody hand, his bloody taped hand, in the Pittsburgh Steeler locker room. You freak! Oh, my goodness. The awe, the shock and awe of shaking that bloody taped up hand. Google it.
Was it Jack Lambert that told you?
It was Jack Lambert.
Was it Jack Lambert that told you, Wolf, your mommy wants you?
Yes. Yes. You know what? I got to tell one of these stories one of these days.
Coming up next, probably a story from Wolf. And do the Cardinals have a top 10 player in the NFL? Should he be even higher? Not higher than top 10. That's hard. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Derek Hall's going to join us, D-backs president and CEO, in about 15 minutes. Home opener for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And boy, does that... I'm so glad baseball's back, but it's just so weird to talk about when we're not excited about whether or not tonight's game's going to be a sellout. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just such a weird feeling to be excited about having baseball, but knowing so many people aren't going to be able to get to share in the joy of bringing your kids to Chase Field today for opening day and the pageantry of it all. But still, be thankful for what we do have and that
we'll
we have the game.
Any way we can get it.
Exactly. You're right. Wolf, Bear, and Maloney are live in the Auction Community Studios. I am on the west side in Studio Wife today and probably will be through at least Labor Day and maybe even longer as we are doing what we can to social distance and basically do whatever we can to not be the Marlins. The Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins, in the news because he was rated as a top 10 wide receiver and the number 2 wide receiver overall for all of the players that voted. And I totally get it. The ranking of the top 100 players has nothing to do with Bill O'Brien and Steve Keim.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yes.
Yet I can't even talk about it. I don't remember a trade. My father always talked about the Joe Morgan trade from the Houston Colt 45s to the Cincinnati Reds. And granted, you know, I grew up in Southwest Ohio, so a lot of things are Reds-oriented. And how he couldn't believe they got a player that good. And he talked about the Frank Robinson trade a lot, about how ridiculously terrible that was. And for those of you who don't know about it, the Reds traded away Frank Robinson because they said he was too old. And then he went to the Orioles and won the Triple Crown, or won the MVP. Yeah. I mean, it's like, boom, punch in the face. And I sit here and I think this is one of those moments in my life where a trade affects me as a fan and I'm still blown away. What are we now? Somebody would have to do the math for me. 4 months since the trade? 6 months since the trade? I don't even remember when the trade was. I'm still flabbergasted that this even happened.
No, I'm with you, Doug Lace, 100%. And I'm sure there's a lot of Cardinal fans that are out there, the Red Sea, still waking up and wondering what happened. How did we get DeAndre Hopkins? And I feel the exact same way. Having said that, I also think, man, what a great thing it is for the Arizona Cardinals to get two guys in the top 15. Two guys in the top 15. Again, is this going to have any bearing whatsoever, Basinonians, on how many games they're going to win this year in 20? No. No, it's not. Based on the fact that they voted DeAndre Hopkins number 8, they being the players, of course, and Chandler Jones number 15. It's not going to have any bearing whatsoever. You're going to have to go out and play. DeAndre Hopkins is going to have to go out and play. Chandler Jones is going to have to go out and play. But you know what? At this point, where we don't even have preseason games, we have nothing right now, it's a big feather in your cap. You got two guys in the top 15. Two guys in the top 15, one on offense, one on defense.
And traded for both of them.
That is a got two killer deals. Think about the two trades. Right there, you bring up a great point, Douglas. Think about the trade for Chandler Jones. It was a second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
A second-round pick as well for DeAndre Hopkins right now, basically. It's just incredible when you think about it.
But Steve Keim doesn't get enough credit for that. He deserves ounce of ripping for the last 5 drafts or so. I think this year's draft will prove to be pretty good. But last year's
was pretty good, too.
Well, when you get Kyler and you have the guts to say, hey, I was wrong about Rosen, let's move on. At the same time, those three receivers are going to, in my opinion, going to determine whether or not that was a good draft.
Well,
and that's huge to get one of those guys to be able to do something. But he can definitely improve on the draft. But when you look at the Carson Palmer trade, the Jared Valdir signing, even though it wasn't a trade, what were the Raiders doing? Then, even though Josh Rosen was a bad draft pick, the trade to get him for a guy that was valued was not a bad trade. You know, hopefully there's people understand the difference in those two things. That was a very good trade because not very often can you give up so little to get up into the top 10 for a position of need. And so trading-wise, we don't spend enough time saying what a good job Steve Keim does.
And here's the great thing about having DeAndre Hopkins number 8 and Chandler Jones number 15. They're still in their prime right now, Basinonians. They are in their prime. I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to go off this year. I think he's going to go off with Kyler Murray as his quarterback right here. I think he's going to get better. I think Chandler Jones is going to get better. This is the best thing about it. It's not like offensive coordinators haven't prepared for Chandler Jones. They know exactly who the guy is, and they're going to do everything they can to control him. But I'm telling you, he's got help now. He's got Jordan Phillips. He's got Pat P and Robert Alford out at the corner. You're going to hold the ball if you're a quarterback a little bit longer, which is going to give Chan and that pass rush the opportunity to get home. He's got Devin Kennard on the other side. He's playing in a scheme that is going to be perfect for him. This is a situation where Chandler Jones, just because he got voted number 15 by his peers, this is a guy that doesn't care about this stuff. This is a guy that gets better. This is a guy who got paid and got better as a football player. I think Chandler Jones, he's got tangible reasons why he's going to be better this year than he was last year. We'll have to wait and see. He's got to go do it. But, man, I'm bullish on that.
You know, nationally, and I totally get it, the number one story is, does Patrick Mahomes deserve to be ranked as low as number 4? I get it. But locally to me, even more than Hopkins, more than Chandler Jones, it's going to be how does the top 100 add to Patrick Peterson's fire?
Yeah.
Because he is somebody that cares deeply about this stuff. And then to have salt on the wound of having Richard Sherman ranked in the top 30, which is there's always been a little rivalry there. And then this is every player that he cares about earning their respect saying, I think that you're slipping. I don't think it's just about you had a bad year. I think if you're a player in the NFL and you think that Patrick just had a bad year, I think you still vote him in the top 100. I think you keep him out of your top 100 when you think it's bigger than just a year, when you think he's slipping, when you think he's not the same player.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the way Patrick Peterson doesn't want to hear it. And that's exactly the type of thing that would make Patrick Peterson furious. And if you've got an upset Patrick Peterson in a contract year who the rest of the league doesn't think he's a top 100 player, I think all of us get the benefit as a Cardinal supporter.
For the record, zero kickers or punters were selected, ladies and gentlemen. Zero. Jay Feely, how's that feel, Jay?
You know what? I get it that the rest of the players don't think
that was that for you, Jay.
The rest of the players don't think kickers and punters are football players. I get it, but look at what the Baltimore Ravens kicker has done, and tell
Feely,
me
Jay
he's not
Feely,
one of the top 100.
Yes, he was a football player. Jay Feely kicked the ball off, run down the field with a dark heart and a painted face.
He wore gloves,
and he'd stick his face into the fire.
Yeah. What an arbitrary shot at Jay Feely out of nowhere today.
I love you, Jay, and you know it, buddy.
Well, wow. Coming up next, D-backs president and CEO Derek Hall joins us. How do you look at the season when you got the worst record in the entire game, but you're only a game out of the playoffs? Home openers tonight. We'll talk to the president next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Madam Speaker, the president.
It looks like she went to shake his hand, and he did not take it.
The president.
He's the president and CEO of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hail to the chief.
Derek Hall.
The president.
On Now with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Cox Business.
Cox Business is here to help you get back to business. Visit coxbusiness.com for details.
Happy home opening day. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
Oh, happy opening day is right, although I could tell you, it seems weird not being on the field with you two in the flagship like we always do.
And, you're right.
And I would also say, yeah, it is odd. It's the oddest opening day ever. And then, Doug, I heard you earlier saying that it just seems strange not talking about or knowing whether tonight is a sellout. But I would disagree because I can tell you both, there are no seats available for tonight's game. So that I can announce.
What a zap right there. Well done.
Unfortunately.
Well done. Listen, are we overreacting this morning, and are you overreacting?
I believe we probably all are. Yeah, I mean, look, but, you know, we sat on this call a week ago and said you can't say it's too soon and it's too early. So I think it's easy to say that, but we do have to remind ourselves we could be 3-3 right now. It's so easy to focus on, you know, that eighth inning, and it was an ugly one. You don't want to put up a, you know, let them put up a five spot. But, you know, we were in the same position they were. Had we held on to that game, boy, in Texas, they'd be saying this morning, how could the bullpen have blown that game after, you know, you had a starter that did so well in Lance Lynn. So, I mean, I was proud of our guys to scrap back like they did. They waited, made their move, and to score two in the seventh and two in the eighth is a very good sign. It can be deflating when a bullpen lets you down, but it's going to happen during a season quite often for both, for the opposition and for us. You just can't let it happen as frequently in a 60-game season.
Today at 8, Maloney was leading the rush hour reboot, and she kind of hinted at biggest concerns right now. I ask you, what are your biggest concerns after 1 week of baseball since we talked?
Well, probably, like everybody, the schedule. I mean, you know, we just had a road trip, six games, and as I said, we could have come back 3-3. We're 2-4. You come back and you play the Dodgers and the Astros, very tough six-game set. So, you know, let's see what we're made of. I'm not concerned about the talent on this team. I'm not concerned that it's going to click and, you know, all cylinders go, but we haven't seen that yet. You know, I want to see the starting pitching, the offense, the defense, and the bullpen all click at the same time. And we've seen glimpses from each. You know, what a great start we had out of Merrill. The bullpen's been extremely solid up until, you know, yesterday. And what's sad about last night, guys, is, you know, we're focused on the tough go that Chafin had, yet he had arguably the most important out the night before, and we should have been celebrating that. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have some bumps in the road. You're going to have some ups and downs, especially when you only have six off days in 66 days. That's a tough schedule, and it is a sprint, but it is for everybody. So that's not an excuse. It's for everyone. We need to make sure we make the adjustments. And like I said, that all aspects of the game are consistent and as strong as they can be, because they really can be.
So when I look at the lineup, right, I'm not worried about the lineup.
I
think the lineup is going to come around. I really do. Now, I may be dead wrong on that, but I'm just looking at some of the talent there. When I look at the rotation, I feel the same way. I don't think the rotation is going to be a weakness for the Diamondbacks going forward. But when I look at the bullpen, I do wonder about that, D. That is the one area where I look at and I wonder about the talent in that bullpen. But you're telling me right now you're not concerned with that.
Yeah, you know, Ron, I think I totally agree with you on the offense. I totally agree with you on the rotation. I talked last week about our strength being the rotation, and I still feel that way strongly. I mean, any night, any one of those guys have the ball, I feel confident. With Robbie Ray tonight, with Gallen tomorrow, with Weaver the next day, you know, with Kelly the way he pitched, I think Bumgarner, like you guys said, has been good, not great, but I'm very confident when he has the ball, and I feel like we are in the game. He keeps us in every game. There are going to be nights where he is dominant. You know, whether he's focused on his velo or not, I don't care. This guy knows how to pitch. He's got great deception. He's got great delivery. He, you know, he's got great spin rate. He's got, I mean, throws across his body. Mm-hmm. He's intimidating. He's outstanding. So I agree with you completely on the starting rotation. Bullpen, I'm not so scared about, because I think really every team is in that same position. You know, we saw lights out from Archie the other night. We've seen Guerra look really good. Rondon has the experience. He's going to be fine. I actually like our bullpen a lot. I think, you know, Alex Young came in, showed what he could do. Clark looked great the other night. I like the depth. You know, Chafin's done a wonderful job while he's been here. He's been a great lefty specialist. The rules have changed. this guy's got to come in. He's got to face three guys, or he's got to get the final out of an inning and be done. His effectiveness is going to change, as are others in the league because of that. You know, this guy has come in, you know, and he's gotten a Charlie Blackman out, and his night is over. So it really has changed. I think our offense, I agree with you, the Mattels have been fantastic. We had a really timely hit last night, which was a good sign from Escobar. A really timely hit from Kelly last night. Walker, I know you could call him cheap hits. He's putting the bat on the ball, making things happen. I have a lot of confidence in our guys. Peralta came around, hit a ball deep to left field last night, taking it the other way. Calhoun's going to be fine. He's just a grinder and a gripper. I feel really good about this team, and I'm not worried, but you don't want to fall too far behind. When you're 2-4, and like you guys suggested before I came on, you know, if you don't do well or at least split against the Dodgers, it doesn't look good. So, you know, you can't dig too deep a hole, but I know our guys aren't panicked. And although it's a 10th of the season, when they have Torey Lovello in there being a great communicator, showing the positivity, believing in these guys, making adjustments and corrections, we'll be okay.
Talking to Derek Hall, President, CEO, Arizona Diamondbacks, home opener tonight. And, of course, we'll get into that hardcore here in just a second. But we always like to ask you about national baseball things because you're a really tied-in dude and a lot of baseball respects you. The Marlins proved something this week, that this whole thing can crash fast if everybody isn't on their P's and Q's. And there's a new report that there's going to be some kind of COVID cop or the travel, I don't know what to call it, traveling with every team. Can you kind of confirm that and what are you looking at to make sure the Diamondbacks are never a Marlins example?
Sure. So first off, yes, we are employing a compliance officer. It's actually a leader in our company, a VP, who we've asked to take on that role. He's very meticulous. He's outstanding. He's done a terrific job thus far. So we had already done that before the league had decided to do so. We think that was important. Someone that can certainly point out problems and stand up to the players and take a walk through the clubhouse and the training room and the dugout and travel with the team. He's been great. The Marlins showed us, you know, again, I know we're not living in a bubble. We're not playing in a bubble. WNBA, NBA showing a lot of success. Women's soccer league, NHL, it's working. As long as we can create and maintain our own bubbles, 30 bubbles, we can. I'm not saying we will. We can get through this safely and in a very healthy fashion. We have been so far. So I think what the Marlins showed us, and it's a shame it happened, but maybe – you know, it's a blessing in disguise this early, is we can't let our guards down. We have to continue to follow that protocol. I know it's 100-plus pages, but it is for a reason. Major League Baseball, the health officials put together an outstanding guideline for us, and it's worked so far. So these guys have to remember, I know it's human nature to feel like, okay, I'm safe, it's been good, I can step out and get something to eat, I can step out and get something to drink, I can drop the mask for a few minutes. But that's a reminder that you really can't. If you want to stay safe, you want to get to the finish line, you've got to follow the protocol. Not to mention the teams that are going to have the most success this season are the ones that are going to stay healthy with the main guys from their original 30-man roster. I mean, that really hurts when it sweeps through a clubhouse, an outbreak, and we know how contagious it is. But I think it was a clear sign to all 29 teams that were not in that position that they've got to continue keeping up with the protocol and staying as safe as possible, not just on the field, not just in the dugout, on the planes and the buses and the hotels and at home, you know, because we have no control with people once they leave the clubhouse to go home in the home cities.
You know what, Dave? I'm waiting for the first brawl in the clubhouse or the locker room. I really am. You know what? Because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And you're putting us all at risk at some point in time. I don't know what sport that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that a little bit with another sport, right? I mean, you're going to point the finger at a guy and say, "Hey, I'm trying to get this thing done," and that's not a bad thing, Wolf. I mean, you know, self-policing is good too, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
And they're all taking it very seriously. And when these guys are wearing masks now, I'm glad baseball has said in a mandate fashion, wear a mask all times in a hotel except in your room. Wear a mask all the time on a bus, all the time on a plane. You have to have, you know, like a point of care system to test every flight attendant, every pilot, every bus driver. Don't let your guard down. And if players see their teammates not following those rules, they're going to say something because they're worried about themselves and their families too.
And they should.
You can only ask questions, or I can only ask you questions really that are D-backs related in the sense of your, I like this phrase that I just made up, the Corona cop. But I know you have great trust in your guys, and every report that I've heard on and off the record is everybody's doing everything they can. But does the Corona cop, he doesn't really have the ability to stop a guy going to dinner, does he? Does he just report to the organization of this is the guy that's doing this? How does that work when there's a violation?
No, you're right. And so it's going to be part of his responsibility. If he sees something that seems a little bit out of line or questionable, he's going to approach that player, approach our head of medical, make sure that it's addressed, go to our, baseball staff. There's going to be times he's probably going to approach somebody in the lobby on the road and say, hey, you shouldn't do this or don't step out. It's a tough role to be in, but he will. Mm-hmm. And I think every team needs it. So it's just not, free flowing, and there is an eye on you at all times. But again, it's difficult because these are grown men, right? I mean, you've got 31 year old guys saying, wait a minute, you don't need to watch over my shoulder, but that's okay. I mean, knowing that a set of eyes are watching you, it's for your own good. It's not, I know cop is a strong word, but it's appropriate. It's not a snitch. It's not a cop. It's an ally. It's someone who wants to make sure that you maintain your safety and health. And he wants to get us to the end of this season and into the postseason, we hope. And every team, all other 29 teams need that as well.
The Dodgers are coming to town. Is there water in the pool?
Yeah, is there water in the pool? You don't have fans out there.
Yeah, there is. Okay. There is. There'll still be some splashdowns, hopefully by us. Anytime they come to town, it's fun. It's different, and they just had a fairly successful road trip. They're the team, right? We all know that, and we've got 10 games against them, seven of them here at home. So after these four, we're going to have three more. But this is it's a good gauge for us, and we remember those exhibition games. We had trouble. This was a very long road trip. I guarantee you, those beds felt good here at home last night. They're gonna be excited to get back to Chase Field today. That certainly helps, and they're gonna have a little pep in their step.
Boy, when I looked at this season, I granted it's a weekend. I did not anticipate the National League West far and away being the best division in baseball. And right now, they're the only division with four teams 500 or better.
It's a good one, Doug. We talked about it, before we got this thing going. I mean, I think, again, you look at last year, the Rockies, how they started out, and they can do that any year. They just did that basically on the road. They're going to go home where they are very good. We know that. The Padres are so much improved. Not only did they prove it to us, but they're going to continue to prove it to every team that they mean business. Dodgers, I mean, look, Giants came back and won last night's game. Any team can win on any given night. But in our division, I think we've got a lot of talent. And then you look at the AL West. Those teams are solid. This is as competitive of the three, I think. Look, everybody can say the East is tough. You got the AL and NL East. This is a tough, competitive environment. When you've got the Angels, who are much improved, the A's are awesome, the Astros, we know what they could do, the Rangers, I mean, they haven't woken up yet offensively. We were lucky, and I think we pitched pretty well, especially in those 2 days. But I think we've all got a tough schedule, and we're all going to beat each other up, every team, both in the AL West and in the NL West.
Mm-hmm. Dean, thank you, man, really appreciate your time.
You are welcome, guys, and hopefully we have a good series here and a good homestand. But I'll tell you what, above all, it's good that we're playing games. I mean, we are thankful for that, and I know our fans are excited to watch, so I want to win some games for them so that they continue to stay glued, both eyeballs and listening here on the flagship throughout the entire season.
Hey, God bless you and yours, D.
Yep. You too, guys.
Thank you, Absolutely. Derek. There's Derek Hall, President and CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks, thinking that, hey, things are going to be able to shape up here, but boy, you're trying to fix your problems against the Dodgers and the Astros.
Yeah.
Coming up next, how will Isaiah Simmons handle being an NFL rookie during the pandemic? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Diamondbacks President and CEO Derek Hall on the Doug and Wolf Show, presented by Cox Business.
Cox Business is here to help you get back to business. Visit coxbusiness.com for details.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.